The Crucibles That Come. Commentary for the July 9, 2022 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation, will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, verses 38 through 39. This year, we have had an unusually cold and wet spring that extended into early summer. Our pear and apple trees set on fruit anyway, but our cherry tree that usually sets on an abundance of tiny fruits failed to even bloom. The conditions weren't right. While I will miss those tiny homegrown dessert snacks, the tree looks vibrant and healthy with lush foliage. The rest from fruiting seems to be doing it good. And I am looking forward to a large crop next year. Even though I'm without cherries, I've learned something from the tree. Despite the hardships that prevented it from fruiting, the tree did not quit. It kept right on being the best cherry tree it could be. It had been endowed with a purpose by the Creator, and it would be true to that purpose to the best of its ability. I learned so much from growing things. I understand why God started humanity out in a garden. While the Bible is a precious heritage handed down through thousands of years of human history, we sometimes forget that other book, Nature. We say that God wrote the Decalogue with his own finger to add significance to the text. But God's word is preserved in every living thing. He spoke, and it was, complete with a DNA databank that ensured reproduction based on the original pattern. As the genomes are studied, we discover the complex intricacy of life and the adaptability those microscopic strands give to life here on planet Earth. As we expand our reach to the stars, we even use the knowledge we gained about life here to search for similar building blocks of life elsewhere. And I wonder if an alien me is also pondering the fruit on his tree and finding similar inspiration about life, origins, and adversity. Adversity is a fact of life. Like the cherry tree, all are faced with challenges. How we respond reveals much about our character. That may seem glib, considering in some cases they are mortal challenges, like cancer, capital violence, grave accidents, viral pandemics, etc. But death is an ever-present possibility for all life on the planet, and has been so since the expulsion from that original garden. It is a monster hiding in the bedroom closet, prepared to leap out without warning should we let our guard down. Humanity's fear of death is so powerful, dictators and gangsters rely on it to subdue their enemies. It is so powerful that our nation of 300 million souls possesses 400 million privately owned guns to prevent it. Since fear is such a powerful motivator, should we expect it not to be used in opposition to the kingdom of God? How many saints have been martyred for no other reason than placing their faith in God more than anything else? Sadly, in the 4th century, when allowed to co-opt the authority of the civil government, Christian leaders found they could use that same fear of death to enforce orthodoxy. It wasn't hard to do. They simply projected the same fear they felt onto their enemies and found it worked most of the time. There were a few who placed their faith above the value of their lives, but most acquiesced to the demands to conform. Of course, they felt safer, but they weren't really, for death comes in myriad forms to the fearful. Only now, it also came with guilt for the compromises they made in hopes of preserving lives. The power of the church to use fear of death was attenuated by the Reformation. But even so, Puritans murdered Quakers, and Protestants were not above murdering Catholics in revenge, having learned well from Catholics who had done the same to them. So what are we to do about all of this? Buy more guns? Kill others before they kill us? Is Christ's admonition to love our enemies now canceled? Are we to love only those we already love, those who love us? If so, what then differentiates us from anyone else? What defines a Christian apart from any other person who lives in fear? How could two Christians sit on opposite sides of a battlefield trying to kill one another to protect their respective families back home? We may say that the other Christian should not have fought in support of their corrupt government, but could not they say the same thing about us? God's kingdom is not of this world, and if we make the mistake of equating our government with that kingdom, we are deceiving ourselves. We may push hard politically to have our government adopt Christian values, but they will only corrupt those values, using them also to instill fear of death in their enemies. What does all this have to do with this week's Sabbath School lesson? The lesson focuses on suffering. While suffering can lead to death, it may not. Nonetheless, it can last all our lives. The same fear that causes us to compromise our faith to avoid death can cause the same to avoid pain and suffering. Like Job, who suffered, we can endure. But others, to avoid suffering, identify with Job's wife's counsel to curse God and die. They feel that their present life is not worth the price of suffering and walk away from the life giver. They do not understand that to live is to suffer, and all are suffering, some more visibly than others. And in the biggest lie that some accept, the enemy tells them that this life is all there is. Once they accept that lie, they may compromise everything to hold on to that brief, flickering spark of life, fearful of losing it. Or, in despair, they may even end their own life rather than go on suffering. It seems strange, then, that the focus of our lesson quarterly is to find joy in suffering. But I think the point they are trying to make is to not allow fear to conquer us and drive joy from our experience. The suffering is seen as evidence that either life is pointless, a position the Bible vehemently denies, or seen as proof that something valuable awaits those who suffer. But here is the catch. They do not earn that valuable reward because of their suffering. That would not be grace. It would be works, which is antithetical to Pauline theology. Instead, they suffer because the reward has already been secured by Christ. As he held fast to the promise of that reward and suffered for it, so do we. And our suffering has the same source as his. It arises from the ire in the heart of the one who rebelled in heaven, attempting to overthrow God's throne. He was cast to the earth along with those who supported him. Every torment he can inflict on those who will stand in the heavenly places where he once stood, so that they might deny God and share in his fate, is proof of the importance of not allowing fear to divert us. To our way of thinking, we would have had the enemy destroyed, ending the suffering. But according to the Genesis account, mankind wanted to have a knowledge of good and evil, like Pandora with her box, unleashing all manner of evil and every fear into the world. Despite that history, too many of us remain attracted to evil, even among those in the household of faith. We operate with the presumption that the ends justify the means, and use evil in an attempt to achieve a good end. If we continue to behave like this, we cannot expect suffering to end. We might ask, why doesn't God simply destroy all the evil and its sources? The book of Revelation states that will happen one day. But if it were to happen today with our divided hearts, would anyone survive? Before that day can happen, we all need to decide whether we want to continue living lives manipulated by fear, or will we give ourselves to God, trusting in the future he has promised, just as Jesus trusted him so completely that he could ride into Jerusalem and certain death without fear, knowing that God will not fail to fulfill his purposes. That same faith motivated Paul to face every manner of assault against his person as he sought to share the faith he discovered while traveling to Damascus. He was traveling that road to use fear to coerce others to abandon the nascent Christian movement. But he flipped from fear to faith, a model for the opportunity we each have to abandon fear, even in the face of death and suffering, suffering that he himself experienced, and ultimately death. The question is, will we? Thank you for listening to this podcast. You can find many more podcasts and hundreds of commentaries at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.